Well, may the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength, my redeemer. A few verses I want to read. I wanted Bracken to read that little section because it just talks about the birthing of Christ. And though we're still in Advent, we're approaching rapidly the incarnation, the nativity. And it begins the whole miraculous plan of God for redemption. In the end, God's miraculous plan, the mystery revealed, is the union of God and man in Christ. That's how he saved us. Lost, fallen, bruised, battered, bruising and battering others. He swept us off our feet, clothed himself in our fallen humanity, brought us into union with him in the person of Christ, and therefore transformed our destiny forever. That's how he saved us. That's what it says in Romans 5, verse 10. It says that he saves us in his life. That's not just about whether I'm going to go to hell or not. It's about every day saving me from the rags that I will trade in one day for a new body. But I have these rags, my humanity that has the law of sin in them, that causes me to have inherent weaknesses, that in those weaknesses, his strength is made perfect as I abide in that union with God because I'm in Christ. When I see the picture in Matthew 14 of Jesus walking on the water and then inviting Peter to walk on the water with him, it's a beautiful picture to me of walking in the Spirit. Here is Peter walking on the water, living supernaturally, because Jesus is overcoming his natural tendency to sink. That's the Christian life, until I get a new body. I have a new nature. The nature is the righteousness of God in Christ, but I still have this flesh, and there's still this law of sin in my flesh. And he invites us to live supernaturally, but it's him overcoming our tendency to sink. That's union. That's the mystery of godliness. Revelation 1 says this in verse 5, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness. The faithful witness to what? He was certainly the faithful witness to the true nature of God when he says in John 1:18 that no man has seen God at any time, but Jesus has revealed him. Jesus has explained him. So if you want to know what God's like, then go study the life of Jesus. But he also revealed to us the truth about man, because Jesus stewarded the life of God as the Son of Man. And as the Son of Man, the second Adam, Jesus, though God, very God, laid down that right to live out of his deity and lived as a man filled with the Holy Spirit. And in doing that, told the truth about man, because the truth about man is that we were created to tell the truth about God, created in his image according to his likeness. So Jesus was the faithful witness. He didn't just die for us, he lived for us. He wasn't just an example for us, he was an example of us. This is a sort of an obscure passage that you don't hear quoted very often, but so significant. Because sometimes, because we still live, we still have the rags of our humanity. That's one of the things I love about the incarnation, about the angels, about the whole swaddling cloth thing, that Jesus is, those were just rags hanging up around the little cave, the lean-to area, so they could clean out the troughs and do other stuff. And that's what they wrapped Jesus up in. And couldn't God have wrapped him up in, like, fine linen or golden threads? He's the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Couldn't it have happened in a palace? But it didn't. Why? Because he didn't clothe himself with a palace. His presence made us the Holy of Holies. But it was to tell us that he's not ashamed to wrap himself in rags. As a matter of fact, those rags didn't just become rags anymore. Their whole identity was transformed. They may look like rags on the outside. If you removed them off Christ and dropped them, they would just act like rags, but they weren't rags. They were union. That's what Jesus clothed himself in. He redeemed them. That's how he redeems us. But for us, until we get our new bodies, sometimes godliness is a mystery. And you say, well, I don't know, I try to be a bit more patient. Well, that's the worst thing you could say. You trust to be more patient. Rags trying to be other than rags on their own just simply show up as rags again. But God, clothed in human flesh, is a different story. This is verse 16 of 1 Timothy 3:16. Think that's a coincidence? This is what eternal life looks like. And by common confession, great is the mystery of godliness. But God, who has revealed himself in the flesh. That's the mystery of godliness revealed. The union of God and man in Christ. Jesus wrapped up in my rags, living his life through me. And in my weaknesses, when they pop up, it doesn't deter anything because his strength is made perfect. The mystery of godliness revealed. Christ wrapped up in my rags, being godly. Again, that's why I love that picture of Jesus overcoming. As long as Peter's walking, he's walking miraculously. It's a miracle. Peter can't on his own do that. But as he kept his eyes on Jesus, Jesus overcame his tendency to sink, allowing him to walk supernaturally. Until he got his eyes off Jesus and got his eyes on the wind and the storm. And isn't it interesting? This is a fisherman who had fished in the Sea of Galilee all of his life. That wind and storm was so familiar to him. Why would he get his eyes and flip out over that? He had survived many storms. Now, not walking on water, but he had survived many storms. He was an expert fisherman. Isn't it interesting that it's the familiar things and the familiar relationships where we end up sinking the most? Everybody told me, I've always heard, that when you lose someone you love, the first year or the first season when you do the big holiday things is always the worst, or birthdays or anniversaries. But I just thought, you know, I've been taking this walking the Spirit thing out for a spin for 4 decades or more, that it really just wouldn't be that hard. But what I've discovered is when all the events, the dates of the events, begin to transpire with my brother and Olivia, that there was a profound sadness. And I would come to the Christmas play with the kids and was rejoicing. It was so much fun, and then all of a sudden I'm crying. And then there was that paradox I realized, that Christianity is so supernatural, and that Jesus, the union of God and man, my humanity, my rags in Christ, and that I can at the same time experience profound sadness and yet joy unspeakable, full of glory, that makes no sense whatsoever. That's the mystery of godliness. That you can know profound sadness and not sink into depression and despair because you're in union with God in Christ and he overcomes the tendency to sink so that you're free to cry, free to feel, free to not be ashamed that you have weakness, free to know that if I don't look to him, I'm going to sink. And it's okay that I'm sinkable because he's the unsinkable Jesus Christ. I don't have to worry about myself. I can just keep my eyes on Jesus, walk on water, and not let the familiar cause me to drown. That's what we walk out every day, isn't it? We see something that offends us. We get really angry at what's going on in the world. And we remember our union. We remember the mystery of godliness. We look to Jesus and he overcomes our tendency to sink into bitterness and resentment and anger. And he likes doing that. You know why? For in our weaknesses, his strength is made perfect. And he's glorified. He doesn't waste anything, even our fallenness. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So for me, when I look at a Christmas creche and I see this image of a child, you can't get much weaker and more vulnerable or needy than a baby. And God became man in the person of Christ. Clothed himself in the most vulnerable condition he possibly could. Lived in the context of a scandal in poverty. To do what? To tell us the incarnation is the key to our redemption. That God in union with man in Christ changes the story. Becomes his story. Amen.